Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. And of course, folks, you heard the dog, so you know this is the Education Watchdog segment of the Union Edge. And in-house today, we've got the pit bull of education, Butch Santacola. Butch, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. It's great to be back, and I want to thank the staff for keeping the dogs fed. And they've run all the way this week to Wisconsin. And we've heard a lot about Wisconsin. We've talked about the issues here before. And today, I'm pleased to introduce to the audience Beth Ludeman, who's the caucus chair for the professional staff within the United Staff Union, an affiliate of the NSO, whose members work for public education and union employees in Wisconsin. And she's been on staff a while. She has a vast experience, and I want to welcome her to the Union Edge Education Watchdog. Beth, welcome.
Hey, thanks. Great to be with you guys today.
Well, super. Well, hopefully this will not be the first time. And I want to say up front that you and I have already discussed, this is really going to be a two-part session, because next week we're going to have your colleague, Ted Craig, on with you, and we're going to talk about the Citizens Action of Wisconsin Organizing Co-op. So this is really go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm super enthused to be able to talk about that next week, and I'm happy to be with you here today to talk about public ed.
Right, and the lessons we've learned in Wisconsin. So why don't you start, and you said you had some good points for us. Let's hear them.
Yeah, so, basically what I think I have to talk about falls into three different points. You know, let's face it, we could talk for the next 6 years about what the last 6 years have been like here in Wisconsin, and there's all kinds of analysis out there. But I think that most of what I have learned as a result of being in the field and talking with both members and potential members who are educational employees, as well as my colleagues in the field, fall into these three points. The first is that it's never too late, but the earlier the better, to have an aspirational strategic plan and vision. And I'll talk in a little bit more detail about that in a moment. The second point is to have a commitment to relational organizing in some as part of that plan.
And you're going to have to explain what relational organizing is.
I will be delighted to do that. And the third point is that probably most of the listeners that live in other states will not be Wisconsin, even with the advent of, a national right to work. And I'll explain a little bit more about what I mean with that, too. So when I talk about having a strategic plan and vision, I'm talking about doing an assessment of locals with different sets of plans to address those individual needs. It should not be a one-size-fits-all, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to do this in every local, because they're all different.
I'm glad to really glad to hear that, Beth, because a statewide program, it all the same, just never works.
It doesn't. And, as educational employees, we should know that better than anyone, because we differentiate for our students around the things that they need to help them grow. We need to do the same for our locals. We need to be able to identify leaders that can do the work that needs to be done and in a changing environment. And there need to be lots of boots on the ground. That's critical. We need a lot of leaders, both staff and members, to get it done. And I'll be referencing that in the context of relational organizing in a minute. One of the most important lessons that I've learned is to not approach this kind of work as we have in the past, which is often, a political campaign basis.
That's right.
And so this is a movement, and it needs to be values-driven, and that's why the relational organizing is so critical to this.
Beth, let me ask a question about this first point.
Yep.
Has there been a buy-in from leadership and staff and others related, various governance bodies, to this process of what you just explained to us? Has there been a buy-in?
Here's what I observe. Where there is buy-in, that these ideas are working. I think a lot of the issue that we face right now in Wisconsin is we did a lot of mobilizing, and I'll talk again and under my second point about that distinction. We did a lot of mobilizing, as I'm sure everybody that's listening knows, with the Wisconsin uprising. And frankly, that burns people out. So there are places where it's very, very difficult to be able to do this work and to regrow things, but there are places where it's going exceptionally well. So I guess when you say buy-in, what I'm seeing is that happens in fits and starts, and it's really grassroots. That's where it's most important to have the buy-in anyway. Did that answer what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, sort of, Beth. I'm just, you know, I know people have been there. I've worked with one of your colleagues when he was in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
I'm just concerned that, you know, as Wisconsin, I don't want with the Wisconsin situation or what has happened in Wisconsin, and I think what you're presenting is absolutely phenomenal, just really great. I just don't want it to get lost by saying, oh, you know, organizationally in other parts, oh, that's just Wisconsin. I want it to stay alive. I want to stay it out there.
Yeah.
I want to retake the whole thing again. So that's just
right.
That's my questions to you. That's the purpose of my questions.
And Butch, when I get to a little bit more detail about that third point, I think that will become really super clear.
Okay.
So if you don't mind, I'd
oh
like
no,
to
just
kind
go
of
ahead. Go ahead.
I'll the relational organizing.
Sure.
Stuff,
go ahead.
Or organizing thing. So I think in Wisconsin there was an assumption that everyone knew how to do relational organizing. And what I mean by that is that's not in a vacuum as opposed to we're going to do issue organizing. In fact, the way in which you determine what the issues are that people want to work on is by doing relational organizing, which is setting up time to talk with folks that are both members and potential members within the union.
And that's
right?
That's really and what that's part of the NSO program, big time on organizing, the developing organizing program.
Organizing for power,
yeah.
Is that model.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, so part of the reason that you know that issues are ones that people are going to work on and commit to is through doing relational organizing and asking people, what's important to you? What do you value?
Yep.
What do you think we should be working on?
What is right? What is wrong? How can we make your life better? Yep.
Absolutely, right?
Right.
You know, that can happen in small groups. It can happen with one-on-ones. I think one of the challenges that we faced in Wisconsin is, initially when this was launched, let's go out and do one-on-ones with everyone. Well, going back to the strategic plan and vision, you don't have the capacity to have one-on-ones initially with each and every person. You have to be strategic about it and do some kind of assessment or ranking of, you know, we know we've got these folks and they're in, right? But it's those folks in the middle that you really need to have some discernment about and understand that. So being strategic about how you're carrying out those small group meetings and one-on-ones is really critical. It is important for people to begin now, both training for relational organizing, but also getting out there and practicing it, because the more you practice that, the more comfortable it feels and the more it becomes part of the culture of the union.
Absolutely. And Beth, listen, we need to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll pick it up at that point. And we appreciate you being here today.
Fabulous. No problem.
Fantastic. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Russell, Russell, Russell. Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential. It's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids. Healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60 because great things happen when we live united.
Donate, donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM, the union representing bakery workers. We have been joining forces with our members and thousands of community partners across America to end corporate exploitation of workers across the globe. Our campaign has its roots with the Mondelez Nabisco's firing of 600 workers at its Chicago bakery and replacing them with workers earning poverty wages in Mexico. College and university student activists have reached out to our global campaign, and the BCTGM is proud to welcome the more than 20 million students across America as partners in defeating this greed-based business model. Student voices have changed the world, and these future community and national leaders will add energy and heightened spirit to the BCTGM's consumer boycott of Mexican-made Nabisco products. Join the fight. Help change the world. Invite the Nabisco 600 team to your campus by visiting fightforamericanjobs.org. Follow us on Facebook at Nabisco 600 BCTGM Local 300.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's me, your heart. High blood pressure is serious, and if you think I'm just gonna keep ticking away, you're wrong. I can quit whenever I want, but I like my job. Just treat me better. Maybe we can do some exercise on occasion? After all, we're in this together.
Don't let your heart quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the United Steelworkers and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and we appreciate their support, both internationals. Of course, you heard the dogs. So you know it's the Education Watchdog. In the pit bull of education, Butch Sandicola is in the house today. Butch, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles. As always, it's a pleasure to be back. And we have our guest, Beth Ludeman. Beth, welcome back.
Thanks, Butch.
Okay,
thanks,
where
Charles.
Did we leave off? We left off...
Organizing.
Right to organize, right.
Yeah, so I don't know that I need to belabor that too much more, but let me just say that one of the things that I think we've learned is to lead from a sense of community as we're doing that relational organizing, not fear, not the... hey, we've got this great insurance policy, and if you don't, you know, join, blah, 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 these awful things are going to happen. Because fear doesn't produce leaders. It produces folks that join but then aren't necessarily fit to help us in this movement, right? So that's another learning that we had. And when I said earlier that probably most states won't be Wisconsin, I did not say that so that people sit back on their heels. But I want to put it in context. Wisconsin had one of the strongest bargaining laws for public sector employees in the nation.
Absolutely.
And
it was great.
And we lost it overnight.
Yes, you did.
Well, many states... Oh, go ahead.
Beth, I just want to interject something. You know, we're,
sure, you bet.
With us here in Pittsburgh, I tell people on a regular basis, I am very lucky... here in the Pittsburgh area, I get to walk among giants. Giants like Butch Sandicola, giants like Charlie McAllister, Rosemary Trump, and others. And these are all people who have dedicated their lives and have done fundamentally just absolutely stellar work. And Butch is over here red as a beet. God bless him. But, you know, we... as trade unionists, be it cops, firemen, paramedics, teachers, nurses, doctors, anybody out there, have had to organize under conditions that were criminal. Okay? I mean, we are 10 miles away from where Pinkerton shot and killed steel workers. Okay?
That's right.
We have had to pull ourselves out of a hole much deeper than this. And quite frankly, Scott Walker, really? Is that the best you got? Because I know, excuse me, I know when it gets serious and it's talking about the ability of a family to send their kid to college, that unions are the best answer out there.
Yep.
This is the basis that we don't want to have to start organizing from. But my God, when you push people enough, they're not calling individual lawyers. They're calling in their union.
Right.
That's just me.
And frankly, that's part of why I think having these relational organizing conversations and building that culture. Now, that might be super present in states already, right? But where it isn't, it needs to be built in, because we would have been much better prepared for the Walker administration and what they intended to do and what they've done.
Beth, did we miss the warning signs in Wisconsin from Walker? Go ahead.
I don't know if you've read Catherine Kramer's new book about the politics of resentment.
Yeah, I saw it. I read bits and pieces of it.
So I mean, there were warning signs. I just don't know that they were all that visible.
Right.
You know, because I think it was very easy to be deluded into believing that there's a law there and it's always going to protect us.
Right.
And that's what I mean about we were not fit. We had not had a culture for a long time of organizing within our organization.
Well, you know what's interesting, Beth, the way I see this, what happened in Wisconsin was a warning shot to other states that it's coming your way and you better be ready. I'm talking about Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, where we are. It could happen overnight like it happened there.
You know,
that's right.
In addition, you know, we are seeing the pushback. For instance, down in Kentucky, Kentucky just went to right to work. And the Kentucky AFL-CIO and friends in the community turned around and said, wait a minute, time out. You are demanding, you are compelling unions to represent everybody in the bargaining unit. That's one thing. Now you're telling us that we cannot collect from those we represent. So in other words, you are telling me that I have to represent for free.
Right.
Okay. Well, guess what? I want my attorney for free. I want your services as a doctor for free. I want these services over here for free. That's the argument. And you know what?
Right.
It was funny because I'm talking to Bill Londrigan on a regular basis about this, and he is saying that they're getting into some of the reddest counties in the state of Kentucky. And the leadership in some of the reddest counties in Kentucky were saying to him, and these are hardcore Republicans, you know what? That's not right what they're trying to do to you.
Yeah.
Well, Beth, let me ask you, you had a third point that you wanted to make here, the relational organizing, second.
And the third point was that it's likely that most places won't be Wisconsin.
Okay.
For the reasons we've been talking about. And I'll tell you, as you saw in that week of February of 2011, we know how to mobilize.
Yeah, you
do. But there's a distinction between that and the organizing I'm talking about. It's not that mobilizing doesn't have a place. And I want to go back to the point that I think Charles raised, which is in other states, let's use Michigan as an example, or the private sector in Wisconsin, now that we're right to work, I think that because people had such a strong connection to their contract that they equated the contract with the union and forgot that it's many of the things that were permissive subjects to bargaining that we were able to succeed on because we organized, not because the law gave it to us. And so we're working on that premise to kind of build things back.
What's really shocking to me, Beth, I mean, I've talked to you. I know, like I said, some of our mutual friends are some of the best organizers in the country. And but what's really shocking to me is Walker came around a second time for election, and he won. And he won a re-election. Well, it just stunned me when I heard that.
Well, I'll tell you that there are a couple different things that, in my mind, factor into that. One of them has to do with George Lakoff's work, and I'm presuming that the audience might be familiar with Dr. Lakoff. He does some incredible work around messaging and framing. Probably one of his most popular books is Don't Think of an Elephant. and they've got messaging down, right? And that's part of the dilemma. The other part is what we seem to be struggling with within the Democratic Party right now, and that is there's a struggle for the identity when it comes to representing working families. And I think that resonated in Wisconsin, because I don't think we had candidates that people believed in to counter Walker's message.
Okay. Okay. Beth, we're going to come back next week. We have a couple minutes here.
Yeah,
but we're going to come back next week and talk about the Citizen Action of Wisconsin Organizing Co-op. And I know there are people that are listening are very interested in hearing about that. We'll come back to that next week. And Charles and I appreciate you being willing to discuss that with us. That was a whole new concept when you were talking to me the other day about it, and we'll deal with it then. If you had one thing.
It's super exciting.
Oh, it sounded that way. If you had one thing, let's say you're a state like Pennsylvania, Ohio, or any of them, and if there's one message that you would want to leave them, what would it be?
To not give up. It's very easy under these circumstances to give up and look elsewhere for a solution. It's about organizing, and it's about creating a culture in which people want to come together and stay together to fight for the common cause. Bottom line.
Beth, you know, I got to say this. I'm married to a teacher, and we have a classic cop teacher family because I was a cop. And, you know, and folks, it works. Our 17 years old is going off to a very good school.
Yes, he is. Very good kid, too.
And I want to say this. Moms and dads in urban areas and rural areas, if they're Democrats, Republicans, Independents, by the vast majority, care about the people teaching their kids. We are always going to have those few boneheads that are out there that want to send a personal letter directly to every teacher's home telling them how bad their union is and how bad they are as a person because they're a teacher. And, you know, we all have to endure the travel commercial talking about the teacher talking about the most important thing to her is her vacation. When, in fact, parents know better. The community knows better. And if we simply reach out and have that conversation with the community, the kind of conversation that we want to have with our parents at the parent-teacher meetings, we are going to be far ahead of the game.
And isn't that what we're going to talk about next week?
Right on the nose.
Is that what we're going to talk about next week?
Well, we certainly can get into that, because that is the benefit of having organized this organizing cooperative in several different communities around Wisconsin. And we're really changing the conversations. Charles, you're spot on about that.
You know, and let me toss one other thing out there, okay? There are far more of us that went through the public school system than went through the private school system. And there are far more of us that benefited and went on to have stellar careers and do wonderful things that were in the public school system than were in the private school systems. And anybody who says that the public school system in the United States is not the great equalizer is doing an injustice to themselves, to their community, and to their children.
That's right. We stand on the shoulders of giants, the folks that built all of our exceptional public education systems. There's no doubt about it.
Butch has got one thing to say.
I just want to say one thing. Thank you, Beth. And let's keep the battle going. And I think that this might be an indication that there is the organizing for power is ideal for what associations should be doing.
Absolutely.
You
and I are on the same page about that.
Yes, we are.
All right. So
thanks,
Beth.
We'll talk next week.
We got another fan of the Education Watchdog.
Oh, yeah, right here.
There we go. Beth, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.